Shalom lachem v'todah.
Hello, thank you for joining us to this series of talks, A New Life, with Rav Lightman. Hello, Rav Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza. Hello. And today we're opening a new topic in these talks of A New Life. Lately, we've been talking about pregnancy and birth, and we've received a lot of new interesting insights and guidance how to go through this process with the baby, with ourselves, in a way that we will be able to go into a better, newer life. And now we want to jump from this point of beginning towards the other end of life. At the end of life, after there's pregnancy and birth, each one of us has a death awaiting him. So today our topic is life and death, and we're welcoming you to join us here in the studio so that we'll hear from the Rav Lightman some ideas from his special perception of life that will be able to help us expand our perception and to learn from death about life. So, Nitza, we have a lot of subtopics inside this fascinating discussion, so help us into the discussion. So the first thing is, even to hear the word death, when we talk about a new birth, something new, it's always something that makes us happy and excited. And when we talk about death, it makes you sad and scared. There's a lot of fear from this, pain. So first of all, maybe even on the emotional level, why does death evoke so much fear and concern in us? Because a person doesn't know what's going to happen. And when he's born, he's not conscious of what's happening, but when he dies, he feels, he knows what's happening to him. And then it depends on how he accepts this process himself, and also his point of departure. Because we have to say goodbye to those who leave us, we remain in this world, and we don't know exactly what's going to happen to the person. We only see that his body no longer remains. It goes back to its disintegration into basic elements. It dies on the animal level, and after a while, a few hours or days, it dies on the vegetative level, and it becomes still life once more until it disintegrates completely. And therefore, it seems to us that together with that, we lose all of ourselves, our independence, everything we've attained, everything that I've done throughout my life. It's true that what I've built over my life, it transfers to my children and grandchildren. They continue, and also they will leave this world, and also they actually leave it for their offspring. But however way you look at it, a person doesn't agree. Our nature does not agree with these incidents of death. We have the strength to live. And really, it's a question. Why is it so scary? Why is it so opposed to our lives? What's wrong with it? Are our lives so good? There are a lot of people in the world who want to die. It's certain that a lot of people in the world, if it was possible, they would end their lives calmly, quietly, in a dream. Yesterday I read some news from the United States where every day 18 people of those who fought in Afghanistan and Pakistan commit suicide. Every day, 18 soldiers who went through such difficult lives, except for all of the rest of their lives, the rest of the people who commit suicide, 18 of them are those who fought there, because they come back and they can't rehabilitate to their lives once again. They're shocked. They are traumatized, even though psychologists work with them and whatnot. So then we have, amongst those who are living, there are many who would want to be dead, prefer in some way, if there wasn't the fear and all kinds of calculations, they'd agree to that. And in general, even from the youngest ages, we ask ourselves, what do we live for? Why is there this life? What is death for? Why do people die? Is there any need then to live? And what is the purpose in it? Is there content to it? What is the point of to all this suffering? What are we doing in this world? Just so that we could have fun to entertain ourselves. That's what people think about when they have time and desire to think about it. But I'd say this, that the problem is psychological, in essence, because really the level of human, the human level that we attain above the animal level, because if we develop on the animal level, if we do not fulfill ourselves with all the goodness that there is on all the levels of food, money, respect, if we just give ourselves a normal level of life that our body needs and supply all the rest on the human level, our passions, are wanting to know the meaning of life, to progress beyond this, then the level, the human level, is beyond our body. It's in connection with others. It's when we connect with everyone, and by that I create a shared life, a shared feeling, and then I don't feel myself inside my body anymore. I feel that I am expanded and spread out on all these 7 billion people, at least relatives, at least a few close millions. And then when I truly bond with them in mutual guarantee, connection, participation, even love, if we're talking about it, then I begin to feel our lives not as my private life, as a shared life. And when I begin to feel these lives as a shared life, and I don't feel them inside me, I feel them in what's between us, in society. By that I attain a kind of heart and mind, a consciousness that is external, outside myself. I begin to live a extracorporeal life. And this is called living in society, outside myself. This is called the human level, which is alike to nature, which is completely in bestowal, loving, giving. And also me, when I am loving in this way, I connect to everyone. And then by that, I attain new senses, my spiritual body, a new spiritual body, which is feelings and thoughts that are shared by all, between all people in the world. If I am integrated with that, I can let go of my body and say goodbye to it and continue to feel that life where I am between everyone, and I feel it as the human level. The body can die. This consciousness, this feeling, this presence remains. If I didn't attain this life over the time that I'm in the body, I didn't succeed in exiting the body and living outside myself with everyone, then I remain just like a fetus where I haven't developed. I had my physical life. I had the possibility to rise above them, a point in the heart, this is what we call it, and I didn't use it. And then I remain as a point. It doesn't feel anything, and it dresses itself again in this body that is born by people who are fit you according to the time, to the desires, to the qualities, and then I'm born once again with this point that once again gives me an opportunity to develop the human level in me, so that I will feel the reality that is outside me. Until the entire world develops in this way, so that everyone will attain the human level in them. And then the extracorporeal feeling in life, in our existence, which does not depend on the pulse of the animal body or on its navigation and in these dimensions of up, down, right or left, no, not time nor place nor movement, but something beyond it. So this actually is the essence of our life. If we want to reach the manifestation or the fulfillment of our lives on the animal level, on the beastly level, we need to go up beyond it and build the human level, the next level of our evolution. According to all the signs, according to the general crisis, according to everything that's happening in the world today, actually, many, many, many people are already advancing towards that, and they're being forced to do that because nature is pressuring us with such great pressures, so that, just like we spoke before, to make us and force us to be born on the human level, to exit ourselves, exit our bodies in these egoistic relations to the altruistic relations by bringing us these troubles, or you could say birth pains, suffering. And this is how we advance. And therefore, death is only relevant, or only happens to the levels of the still vegetative and animal levels. Excuse me, only the vegetative and animal levels, not on the still life, because it's different there. It's a disintegration that's different, and not on the human level, because there it's just consciousness. It's a matter of the feeling that is beyond the flesh. I think it's possible to explain this to people, and this is what people want to hear. You can go into detail here and to express it with psychological support and all kinds of things that we already have a little bit in science. People can understand this, and also to bring about such research, what kind of consciousness do we achieve when we participate with others, with the public opinion, and so on. If I annul myself, my opinion, my desire, my intentions and thoughts, and want to be integrated in others, in the public, and receive the general thought and desire and integral thought that they have, by that I live within them. So much so that I don't even feel my body anymore. When I get rid of my body, when my body dies, I don't feel that myself dies, because I have already attained a place for myself outside of the body. No, we can talk about whatever you want, but this is, I think that if we develop what I just said, but expand it, not in depth, because into the depth of it, there are things that could confuse people, but we need to remain on a very limited level, and also we should be careful that our explanation will be scientific, psychological, close to a person, so much so that it would be accepted in him, even though he's religious, ultra-Orthodox, maybe just traditional, all kinds of religions and faiths, so that when he'll receive this, he'll disconnect from everything else that he've heard here and there, because it's so simple. It's said in such a convincing way, out of science, out of the simple things that are before one, that it will be accepted naturally, and he'll accept it naturally, and it won't clash or collide with his religion or faith. You'll manage with it. The approach needs to be natural, just like bread and water. And in this way, you won't feel that I wanna contradict his approach from his religion or faith. In your approach, many times you teach us that we need to look at nature and to take example from it, to see how things exist, how it happens. And when we look at nature as humans, we see that there's cycles. There's a feeling that there's a circle that goes around. There's the seasons of the year, that it's endless. What can we see as people who are looking at nature, where it's more the vegetative and animal levels? How can we learn something from that about to take that to our own perceptions? It's the circle of the change of form. We learn that from the beginning of the human form in us, the human level. This is called the point in the heart. Our heart is our egoistic desire, where I want everything for myself, and I have some point in me that is completely opposite from my heart, that wants to break out of it. And if I develop this point through the integral education, the group, then I cause for this point to exit my body and combine with the general heart that's outside me, that group that has decided to connect as one man in one heart. And then that's where I live. This is actually, just like I said, that if I don't manage to, before, if I don't manage to do it in this incarnation, then I'll do it in the next one. It will dress itself in the body that is right for its development, and then we'll have to fulfill this opportunity. But I didn't quite understand, it confuses me a bit, how we can do this through watching nature. And I'll tell you why. Because before you said that there's a different levels of the still vegetative and animal and speaking levels. And I don't have this example from nature. I can only see the plant life and animal life. And I know that there's renewal. I see that there's death and new life. But how can I, from this looking at nature, can I learn something about the level that I need to reach? Tell me, where do you see this cyclicality on the still and animal and vegetative life? I see the seasons of life, the seasons of nature. This is the still life. It's not on the animal level. So you can say that the seeds, we see that they come from the plant. It's still like that in the plants, and then there's death and life. We see the cyclicality of things, and on the animal level, we don't see it anymore. And on our level, as an animal, we also don't see it, of course, because our body doesn't come back. Only that point of internal information, the beginning of my connection to the external vessel. Is that our consciousness? Yes, yes, you can call it consciousness. So then the consciousness I attain doesn't die? No, this is why every generation is wiser than the previous one, because it carries with it all the information that it's attained before. It's just that it loses its character. The level remains, but its expression can be different. If I'd been very cruel, then now I can be the opposite to the same extent. Usually it's on the same level, but in opposite directions. If I leave my previous form, my previous heart, the heart is egoistic, and this point remains with this specific information or reshimo. And when it transfers to the new heart, to the collection of new qualities and desires, that it receives a new quality. That's why it is different from incarnation to incarnation. Of course, the same person that is created from this Rishimo, from this information, is different. But again, you can still see that he belongs to the same, how can I put it, to the same species, the same nation, mentality. There are lines that you can, general lines that you can identify. But I don't see a problem here. If he gets used to it, and to, of course, agree to it, because there's nothing here that's mystical, or it's just information that also now exists between from incarnation to incarnation and comes back, and therefore our generations are advanced generations. You can see that on the animal level, that the animals don't progress in the way we do. The cow is the same now as it was hundreds of years ago. We've just manipulated in all kinds of ways, but actually it's only mutated because of us. But we, next to it, have grown within 500 years. Wow, because from incarnation to incarnation, we hoard knowledge and desires and most importantly, connections between us. The world is becoming more and more round and interconnected. And all of this new information reaches this new incarnation, especially what shows up is the willingness of this point of information, this point of the heart, this spark or Rishimo, whatever you call it. Especially its attitude towards connection or separation from others. This is actually the critical measurement that is so important. How much a person is inclined towards others or is repulsed from others, rejects others. And really, the advancement depends on how much is, however much one cannot take others, cannot stand others, the developing person who develops himself is more isolated, is farther from others, more individualistic, where he can't even hear others. He's not able to be with them in any kinds of connection, where he feels that this is me and it's as if I've come from other planet, and they're here around me, just like some kinds of little bugs on Earth, crawling around. If a person feels from life, including relatives and those who are far away, it means that this point in him is really prominent and demands to break out of his heart. This means that he has a high soul. See how cruel it needs to be and to have this heart of stone. And it's really this way. He can't really care about anything in his life, including relatives. You talked about the approach to life, and it reminded me that there's this approach to life that says you only live once. You have one chance. What does it mean when people say that? A person has to feel that he has this opportunity right now that is truly, it does not come back. So you're saying that this is a plus to this approach. Yes, because then he'll want to fulfill his opportunity, his life. So what does it mean to really fulfill your life according to this approach? Through society, through the environment. Look for an environment that will help him fulfill this point, not to let go of this internal inclination that he has to what he's drawn to in life, and to fulfill this inclination, not to be confused, not to be under the influence of the environment, to run to all kinds of different purposes that will confuse him, to even not to listen to parents, because who knows what they are aiming him at according to their own desires and intentions. But I'm talking about special cases. A person needs to search, where is my most internal desire that is always accompanying me in life and does not leave me and demands from me to fulfill it? I feel that my entire life I repress it. When do I let it out and demand its fulfillment? When you talk about fulfillment, do you mean a desire that, let's say I'm an artist or a musician, do you feel something like that? Well, even that, it doesn't matter, because through that a person needs to continue onwards until finally his desire will grow and into and become a connection with others. And usually it's opposite to the point that he felt when he was young, when he was growing up, where he felt that he rejects everybody else. He doesn't want to take them into consideration because this point was wrapped inside his heart, his egoistic heart. And when he begins to develop, he sees that it's the opposite. He has to replace his inner heart with the external heart. And then this point will blossom and receive its true form and quality. I'd like to expand this issue of fulfillment of a person, and because over the past few years, people have been looking for this, to feel that their life is meaningful, that is full of purpose, that they're not wasting their lives in vain. The feeling is that each one seeks his uniqueness to express this place. How does this relate to the approach that you talked about of attaining the human level? Is there a connection between the physical fulfillment to attaining the human level? We do not attain this purpose over one lifetime, but through many, many incarnations, many appearances in this life, in what is called this life. Because also this is a psychological perception that we are in this reality. So the most important thing is to fulfill what I'm naturally drawn to discern within myself the most basic, main, most powerful desire. It could be towards writing, towards drawing, towards building, towards mechanics, whatever, not, it doesn't matter. Even a shepherd. I want that. This is where I feel myself. This is a freedom for my soul. This is the, it doesn't matter at all what it is, but this, a person must fulfill it. Then either he passes his incarnation with that, or the next incarnation will be the successful ones, because he has to constantly, most importantly, manifest and fulfill his own internal need and desire, not to be influenced by others at all, never. If the public answers his inner demand, then listen to this society, and eventually he'll find the group, the environment, the society where he will, where what he'll be able to fulfill his most inner desire. then it's called that his life is successful. It doesn't matter what it is. It can be even simple and primitive. It doesn't matter, but he fulfills them. So then a person in his life needs to listen to his heart, into the point in the heart, and to fulfill it. Because this, often I've heard you say in these shows that a person needs to be in balance with nature. Is this connected to me fulfilling myself? Yes, but this is already a rule. But actually, you need to constantly listen to yourself. What would I do to clear myself from all the influences I get from the outside? What do I want? The human in me, and develop it. Then it's certain that I will not stray from the path, and bit by bit I'll reach my fulfillment. Okay, so if you could just tie all this up for me. Let's say I like management very much, and I fulfill myself in a managing role. How does this connect to fulfilling my human level? Advance on it as much as you can. Don't stop yourself in a way without any external influences where they'll tell you this is too big, it's not, you won't be able to do it. Don't let people fill your head with foreign values. Go according to your own nature, your own mentality, your inner voice, so that you'll feel that you are dealing with the fulfillment of your most inner point. Only you understand this, and no one else. It can be a job and management on the most simple level. Maybe you manage a kindergarten. It doesn't matter what. The most important thing is that you feel that by that you have your internal experience. That is happiness. And that will be in balance with nature. And see that it will be in balance with nature. Maybe we should let Oren say something. It's just that the people I know, they divide into two types: those who believe in incarnations and those who do not. And I tried while you were talking. I understood from what you said that you define the purpose of a person's life as exiting himself and connecting to others. I understood that that is this movement that you made, that once a person exits his perception of his self and worrying about himself and his own good and seeing only himself, if he's able to break out and caring for others, feeling others, connecting to this general heart, as he's put it, he needs to disappear there. The feeling of me and them disappears. This is a psychological phenomenon in which a person stops feeling or saying me or I. There is no I. There's only we. And then I don't feel the body that disappears or dies. There is no such thing. You said this is consciousness. Yes, it's more powerful consciousness from all the levels of the animal, vegetative, and still life, which also, when they disappear, he doesn't feel that they disappear. Just like when he cuts his nails or hair, like the vegetative level. I also do not feel the animal level anymore. Okay, so I understood that, and you define this as the fulfillment, our human level. When you go out of yourself and become a part of others, the general heart, this is where his consciousness is. And then, even if he's finished his life, this consciousness that he's created and exiting himself, the feeling that he feels inside this general heart, inside of others, that does not disappear. This never dies. Is that what you said? Yes, that's eternal. Because the whole way that we measure time is tied to our animal level, to our bodies, or the still and vegetative level, but not according to the human level. There's no time there. We also see that in our research of nature. That after you surpass matter, there is no time or space or distance. At the depth of matter. So you mean that your approach to life is like a playground that is given to us in order to train ourselves to develop our consciousness from such a private, personal consciousness, to open yourself up and feel the others, feel the true. So I understand that according to your approach to life, and we can only talk about this without talking about reincarnations. It depends who we're talking to. There's a public with whom we can talk only about this, that I attain this external life outside me. And there's an audience with whom, which we can talk about how I keep this feeling once my body dies. And there's an audience to whom we can say, a third audience, with which we can say that after my body dies, I remain with this and I continue to live, and even with a new body, and continue with that to a new incarnation. It depends on the level of development or intelligence the audience has, and also whether it's worthwhile or not, because we should always keep this explanation on a level that it's comfortable and easy to accept. Okay, so I'd like to continue with this image or metaphor or illustration. You need to go out to others with your concern. So if I understand correctly, according to this perception of the world, this is also what the saying, love thy friend as thyself, is all about. Yeah, and the whole matter of being as one man in one heart, if you do not connect, this will be your place of burial. It's also this matter, that if you connect, then you will attain a spiritual life. This is called a spiritual life, feeling myself inside others. Yes, exactly, and if you do not connect, then this will be your place of burial. Just like your body will be buried, also you, meaning your points in the heart, will also be buried. And then you lose your incarnation, you'll waste it. You have to decide. Either you accept the law of connection and mutual guarantee with others and begin to develop, or not. You need to develop the human level. You are called Adam. Now, to develop this scheme, this formula, you're saying you need to care about others. And if we look about the previous generations, according to this perception, people who fulfilled this destiny as humans, and we think that they used to live and then they died, then what you're saying is that actually they didn't go anywhere. These good people, this good consciousness they had, it is building, it is creating this connection between us now. They are the ones who build this connection between all of us. They are those who built this network, this integral web. Explain. Let's take one, and it will be easier for us to grasp the rest. So if I'm just saying, let's say one succeeded, so you can see what I understood so far, and then you can add to it, because you added a lot. So let's say somebody from the previous generation, let's say there was some person, and even without a name, doesn't matter who, went through this metamorphosis, this process. Right, he went through this process. He was integrated with this good connection with others. We're not even talking about people on the street. We're talking about a certain group, a certain society that helps him out of himself and pulls him out, that encourages him. No, I didn't understand. I understood that I needed to come out for myself to others. Let's say I succeeded. It doesn't matter who. A person who lived in the previous generation. Then he reached a certain age and his body died. Everybody around him thought this person died. And you're saying if he went through this metamorphosis inside and his attention and consciousness exited himself to others, though everybody thought he died, actually his consciousness that he attained in the general heart, this still exists even now. Yes, of course. And there he meets, let's say, his teacher who died before him, his consciousness. He also recognizes him in his attitude, in his character, not a physical, corporeal character, but the spiritual one. In short, in the place where which he fulfills, which in this web of connections between everyone, he meets there all the people who reached this level of connection, which are all the great men and women of our nation, of all generations, from Abraham to the group of Rabbi Shimon and Moses and all the prophets and all the Kabbalists of all the generations, each one that worked on himself and manifested this exit from oneself. So all these people who succeeded in this game of life, they exist. Yes, they themselves sustain this network, which is called the Shekhinah, Holy Divinity. So all the good people who managed to exit themselves and care for others actually did not die. Their body died, but their consciousness, their social awareness remained, and it still does, and it is above the limitations of death even. Yes? That's what everybody needs to reach, this financial crisis that seems so far is what is pushing us to us. We're now being pushed from this animal and to leave ourselves, to get out of ourselves. This is called being in the integral world. So then our feelings sometimes, when somebody dies, then sometimes he has feelings that he doesn't really end, like a candle burns out. We don't see him like as we see everybody here, say, on this chair next to me. I don't know about your feelings. I'm a very realistic person. I'm very practical. Let's put the feelings aside for now. Practically speaking, let's say I succeeded in this game of life and I left myself and got out to connect with others. Even if, God forbid, something happens to my body, then no, not God forbid. It just dies and you exist. You are born. It's called that you're born as a human. When I die? No, you can even not die. You can stay in your body. But once you exit your own desires to others, it means that you are born. This is called the exodus from Egypt. It's called the birth, spiritual birth, to this general consciousness. Yes? So then there is something here that is very individual, personal. If a person reaches such a level of development of his consciousness, then his experience, his feeling of his existence is different from the way people look at him and they say he's alive or dead. It's completely different. What are you talking about? You're looking at the world through people's eyes. What do they know? And what do they understand? Poor things. They only reach a state where they have this possibility of being born, this option. So if I look at a certain audience, a certain public, a part of these people are living now in this regular consciousness of me, myself, and a small part of them, say people who fulfill themselves, as you call it, to exit yourself, it's as if they have this feeling of life that is wider, shared. With who? Between them. They have one feeling, one understanding, one consciousness. They feel eternal life. They feel their own spiritual life, because it's not life through this body. They feel that they're on the speaking level, on the human level. And if you ask me what this is for and why, then there's more to talk about. Because we only talked about how we move into this degree, but what is it for? What's beyond it? Is there something beyond it? What is it itself? What is its essence? What is its role? What is its, where does it end? You're saying eternal. What does eternal mean? Is there a development in it? Yes. Towards what? And so on. But this is all already... We are already entering. So wait a minute. Let's make another summary. I understood that while I lived, during the dozens of years that I live, I need to give birth inside me to this new consciousness, which is to step out of myself to others. And if I've done that, then this consciousness will never disappear. No. You've attained it. You were born. You were born on a level where there is no death. There is no return. You only rise in holiness and you do not decrease. So such people who have this consciousness of living inside others, they're not afraid of death? Of course not. What fear is there? What death? It's not death. It's not even called death. The donkey next to me may die, but it's not even me. I'm living in this new consciousness. I give my body what it needs, food, sex, family, everything it needs in order to exist. As long as it lives, it's alive, and through it I have to advance. There is a commandment to keep it safe. And this point that develops, my participation in that, is dependent on the body. Why is it dependent on the body, you should ask? I'll tell you. Because through it, I can connect to others, and to draw them to the same new consciousness, to be born in the new world. I know people who say health-wise and also emotionally and in terms of things that they went through in life with their family and their relatives, it's as if with the certain glasses that I put on them, if I look at them rationally, I can say that they have very, very difficult lives. I don't even perceive or understand how one person can go through so many troubles. The 10 people should have received these troubles should have spread between them. And as I look at them with different glasses of the connection with others, then I see that these people have a kind of liveliness to them, inside them, their own personal liveliness, that I can't perceive this with my brain, with my mind, with what kind of force is driving them, a different rationale. And it's as if their body suffers a lot from all kinds of illnesses, cancer and all kinds of things like that, and maybe relationships in their family are very bad. They're like some sort of Job. Very difficult lives, but there is a kind of internal spark in them which is fed by this attitude they have towards others, and it's as if that within the destruction of their lives, that's how it seems to me, there's this kind of very gentle, heartful thing that inside this darkness, that it's giving them this kind of light. It shines in them. I don't know how to describe it. And now that you've described this exit of a person from within himself to others, where it gives them a kind of liveliness on a higher level that is not connected to this existence or to the troubles or no troubles, it's as if there's something higher in them than the way I see the film of their life, the movie of their life. In it, there's a kind of internal line of life that is fed by a special dedication to others. I don't know how to express it with words, if you feel what I'm trying to say. Yes, possibly, but still, it's not... If it doesn't come through the method of integral education, which aims a person correctly to connect to the environment and to find the exact shared feeling and move from me to we, then all of these things that they do, these projects and the wars and that they fight and the troubles, it still does not bring them to the same fulfillment manifestation, which is the whole exit of a person from in himself to others. Yes, here we need to know how to develop and you need to follow the method. This is why this method is so ancient and is so many years old. And if we did not receive it from this discovery, gradual, slow revelation from generation to generation of wise men who attain this method and fulfill it and write about it and give it to us in such a way, we would not be able to succeed. How can a person live without a fear of death? He doesn't have some basis. He doesn't have a point of relation, because we have two points of relation. I was born and one day I'll die. It gives a kind of, you know, a form to this movie, a kind of structure. His commitment. No, but you're saying that a person that's out of himself, he has no fear of anything. He has a great fear. Am I successful enough in doing good for the world, in bringing people closer to this human level? He has even more fears, anxieties, intentions, and great plans to fulfill and to make everything in time, even more than before, because he doesn't live for himself. His concerns are to the extent that he connects to others. They become his concerns, because he is together with them in the same network of feelings. His tensions, his concerns, his life, on the one hand, are much more difficult. Just if you take just one private person, a peasant, a worker, so he's concerned for himself and his family. If something works out, it does, and if it doesn't, it doesn't. Here you have a concern for 7 billion children. This is how this person feels, and you have to bring them to correction. You have to cause them good. You don't need to feed them all and marry them all and care for their physical lives. You have to care for all of them. This burden, this tension, he feels it. When you told us about this game that you call the game of life, suddenly this understanding of how we as humans don't understand this game. We actually are inside the game, but maybe we don't understand its purpose. It's like we weren't given these instructions, what we need to do. What's the purpose of this game? Because a person is not allowed to know more than the level of his development. But it turns out that we can live a whole life without doing anything of what we just talked about. You advance naturally, instinctively. No one fulfilled himself, but you fulfilled yourself according to the commands of nature. This is how, if we look at our corporeal life, then it's certain that it's this way. Only in our spiritual life, in connecting to everyone, that's where we can find freedom. Well, this invokes a lot of thoughts. I feel it, because it changes the entire approach to life, to death. Maybe you're right, I don't remember, but when you begin to see it, it's so free, open, it's so understandable, it connects so well, so comfortably. It's like feeling yourself after you've been born again. This is the real birth. Yes, when you don't have things that are not understood to you anymore, fear, death, lacks. You have great concerns and everything, but it's for fulfillment towards the future. It's not towards oneself. This concern is even wider, and it is fulfillment. Its fulfillment is higher. But we need to in our dissemination, in our teachings, to be very careful with how we tell this to people, how we serve it. Either we talk to him about connection, which is good for even having food, or it's saying that if you connect, you'll also have higher participation, you'll feel life on a higher level, above your problems, above all of your lacks of this world. Or you'll continue onwards and connect with others. You'll attain a higher consciousness on the human level. This is already a different type of explanation for special people to whom we talk about the opening up of the new world, this new level. This is a new dimension, completely new. And later we talk about the incarnations. If I understand this illustration correctly, it's just like today. In technology, there's a term called cloud computer computing. Let's say if it's a kind of technology where the information is not in one place, but it's in a kind of like a cloud, where each user, each workstation can suck from that, its information. So let's say the information is here in some sort of cloud above us. Let's say your computer is broken down, then actually nothing happened to this information, to this cloud, because it's not inside your computer, but it's in this cloud. And then we can make a new workstation and connect to it once again. In short, everything exists. Nothing is lost. Everything is there for anyone who can connect to it. Why did this metaphor came to me? Because if I understand this formula that you explained, this picture that you drew, if a person develops his consciousness to such a level where he feels his existence not from inside his heart and just me, this narrow self that is limited, but is exits himself to a much higher level where he's not influenced from this workstation that is his corporeal body. And you said that this level is like a network. But your computer is there, not here. It's not outside the network. Outside the network, you only have your animal. Well, that's what I'm talking about, his body. It's not a computer. You are entirely in the spiritual human level. You're there. My consciousness. Yes, everything. Aside from this body that can even die. Forget about this body. It doesn't belong to this dimension, which is the dimension of our consciousness. Yes. Okay, so let's summarize it again. The purpose of my creation, of my existence, is to break out of the life inside this body and to build myself there in this cloud. Yes, that's right. This cloud of information. I think that here at this point, with this illustration, I think we should end this talk for now with this fascinating topic. So thank you very much, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you, our viewers, for being with us. A new life. We're building it in the cloud. So until next time, all the best and goodbye.